schools rated among the poorest performing in Ohio could be closed or face a takeover under a state Senate bill making its way through the chamber this month. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about Senate Bill 295 is its sponsor, Ohio State Senator Andrew Brenner, who is chair of the Ohio Senate Education Committee. Thanks so much for being with us, Senator Brenner.
Well, thank you for having me on.
We appreciate it. So under Ohio's current law, schools can be required to close for low enrollment. Can you briefly explain how that works?
Well, if you've got a school that is like close to non-existent, they're going to probably shut down or close or consolidate it. As an example, the City of Columbus Public Schools is in the process of trying to consolidate school buildings because they've had some enrollment shifts in their district. They have a bunch of buildings that have low enrollment, so they're in the process of trying to shut those buildings down and relocate those students to other buildings.
And I know your proposed bill, Senate Bill 295, is about poor performance. Tell us about the bill.
Yeah, my bill is trying to address both charter schools, which are currently under the existing law to be shut down if they are poor performance. And this would expand it to include traditional public schools, which technically have also been underneath the old law, but has never been enforced against a traditional public school. So what the bill basically does is it takes the lowest 5% of the schools, and mind you, there are about 3,200 school buildings in the state of Ohio, so there are a lot of schools, but there are only not a handful, but there are a lot fewer of those schools that would be in the lowest 5% on performance and 10% in value-added progress. So what I'm doing is saying that if their performance index score is been basically in the bottom 5% for the three consecutive years, and they've been ranked in the bottom 10% in the effective size of the value-added progress dimension for three consecutive years, then the school is subject to criteria that would lead potentially to that school's closure, reorganization, or working some things out with the Department of Education and Workforce to work with an external operation, such as a college or university even, or an education service center, or some other management firm to take over the management of those particular schools or school districts that are in trouble. And that law has been in effect against traditional public schools for really a decade or so now, and it's been pretty good at stopping the poor performing schools and eliminating them and then turning many of them around. So even the threat of it existing forces districts to make decisions to help improve the performance of the schools. And the whole point of this is to make sure that every student in the state of Ohio has a chance to succeed and graduate from high school with a degree that means that they can either go right into the workforce, college or military or some other option. And that's the whole point of this.
And to determine which schools are poor performing, you're looking at Ohio's report cards. Is that correct?
Correct. You can take a look at the state standardized test results for every single building and school district in Ohio. We used to have, and it's been in existence, actually a bill that I carried about a decade ago, House Bill 70, which was called the Youngstown Plan. We've since modified it, but it was basically a takeover by an academic distress commission. Those have not worked as well as hoped. In fact, I would say they haven't worked. And so I was amenable to changing some of this, but we still have to do something, because we have many school districts and many school buildings where 80, 90, and 100% of the students are failing the state standardized tests on English, math, social studies, and science. So this is something that to me is highly crucial. And it's crucial, especially given the fact that we have hundreds of thousands of Ohio students in traditional public schools who are not actually passing the tests and they're not ready for college or career.
So I want to make sure I understand. Under your bill, what happens to these schools if they are hit those metrics that you're talking about? If closure is a consideration, what are the next steps for the schools themselves, for the students, for the principal, the teachers?
Well, underneath the bill, it requires the district's Board of Education to select up to five options. So we're going to give five options for restructuring it, and it's up to the local board on this. So I wanted to make sure that they had some input. They can either close the school and direct the superintendent to reassign the students to higher achieving school district buildings and within the district. Contract with an education management organization, charter management organization, or school district that meets certain performance criteria to operate the school. They can replace the principal and a majority of their licensed staff. They can consolidate the territory of the school district that controls the poor performing building with that of another school district. So they can merge it with a higher performing school district, or they can also work with the Department of Education and Workforce on an approved external services provider with expertise in school improvement. So those are things that the local district can make that decision on, but they're going to have to make it on one of those criteria. And the whole point is to try to turn those schools around to give these students a fighting chance.
Okay, so this wouldn't require a school district to close the school, but it would say, hey, you have to do one of these options. You can't just do
Yes.
nothing.
Yes, and one of the options is theoretically closing the school, but I give them in the bill five different options.
We've had in Ohio for many years a teacher shortage. My understanding is your proposal could include replacing staff. And there have been arguments that, hey, this legislation could disincentivize educators from teaching in schools where the environment is challenging, where the students are really struggling. What do you think of that?
Well, I would say that that is kind of a misnomer because we've already had like Teach for America and other organizations where they take highly enthusiastic new teachers who have been trained to deal with kids in distressed situations and put them into those buildings. So there are many people out there that want to do this. The idea about replacing the staff really has to do with, is the staff properly trained? Are they properly following, the best curriculum that is available? Are they able to actually teach that to their students and make sure that their students are learning? And, part of that could be, and my guess is that in most cases, the school district will work with an organization that will help properly train those teachers to work with those students. And I'm talking about, in many cases, these are students that are in economically disadvantaged areas that have, not just high poverty, but they may have parents that are unable to help with the students' homework at night because they're working a couple jobs, or, there may be single parent households where the mom or the dad is, not there when they need to be to help with the students. So having that kind of training and that additional detail, I think, will help. And that's the idea behind this. But we have to do something. We cannot just continue to see this, that what's been going on.
My understanding is that part of your proposal could give a poor performing public school kind of give control over to a charter school. Is that right? And what data do you have on that being a proven approach for success? I know here locally we've had Cincinnati charter schools face investigations on different fronts.
Well, it depends on the charter school operator and the management company. There are some great ones out there, and you've got a lot of high-performing charter schools where you put that charter school into, the Cincinnati area, then you're going to find that their students outperform with the same economic disadvantages for half the cost or less. And see, this is the other thing that the charter schools have been arguing is, look, we're trying to do the same work and hire the same teachers for about half the amount of money that their traditional public school counterparts receive yet on many times are outperforming where those traditional public schools are spending two or three times the amount. Cincinnati Public is an example. I think they're spending around $25,500 per student. Your typical charter school down there is around 12 to 13,000 a student. So you're looking at a situation where they're spending about half as much, but their performance ratings are either equal to or exceeding, by most counts, that of the traditional public school. And what I'm saying is that you're not going to, again, this is going to be working with the local school board. They're going to need to select only charter school operators who know what they're doing and are either exceptional or exceed standards, compared to their counterparts. And I think if they're doing that, they will put, potentially some good management into those schools with various, systems that work. And that's really what is needed, I think, in many of these schools.
We're nearing the end of this session of the General Assembly, of course. If this bill doesn't pass in the lame duck session, do you expect it to come back up next year, maybe as part of the budget?
Well, I can tell you that I intend to reintroduce the bill next year. I do not believe we're going to be able to get it done this time because we are at the end of lame duck. The other chamber of the House has not had a chance really to see this. So I have talked to the chair over there. My intent is to reintroduce the bill in the next General Assembly and have many public hearings on it and work with both chambers and the governor's office with this. I have been getting consultation with the Department of Education and Workforce on the wording, and I've been working with various stakeholders, both the charter schools, various other nonprofits, and I'm going to be sitting down with our traditional public school partners and trying to come up with a solution. But the status quo is not acceptable. And to have, hundreds of thousands of Ohio students significantly behind where they should be and not getting caught up. That is a severe problem that has to be addressed, and we can't just continue to kick this can down the road. We need to address it now.
Well, I've been talking with Ohio State Senator Andrew Brenner, chairman of the Ohio Senate Education Committee and sponsor of Senate Bill 295. Thank you so much for your time today, Senator.
Thank you very much for your time.
This proposal does have opponents among Democrats and even some Republicans in the legislature. Joining me now to talk about the concerns are Ohio State Representative Dunny Isaacson. Welcome back, Representative Isaacson.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And Cincinnati Federation of Teachers President Julie Sellers. Thanks for being here, Julie.
Thank you. I'm really excited about this.
Representative Isaacson, you just heard Senator Brenner talk about his bill. He says we can't just accept the status quo when it comes to educational results. And, a lot of people would say, hey, test scores have been a concern for years now in Ohio. Have the methods to address that not been working in your view?
Well, so I want to start by just saying I agree with the senator that, of course, we need to do something about the fact that tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of students across Ohio, particularly in our urban districts and our rural Appalachian districts, are not getting the education they deserve. And I believe that he thinks he's trying to address that challenge. And so I applaud him for trying to work on it. But this bill absolutely misses the mark. It is because, and he spoke about this in his interview, it continues a series of things that we just know from empirical evidence are not true. It is not true that charter schools outperform public schools. It is not true that the five options he presented are the best options to improve schools. What we do know works is improving teacher quality by increasing teacher pay, by being able to recruit more people into the field, by being able to retain our best teachers. We know that student-teacher ratios matters. It is harder to teach a class of 25 students with one adult than it is to do it with two adults, right? And there's data from all over the country that shows that those are the things that are effective. We can look to empower principals more in schools that are, performing well and help them turn it around. There's all sorts of things we can do to address what the senator is trying to address, but his proposals won't do it. And he said in the interview, the last time he tried to do something like this was with the Academic Distress Commissions. And as he noted, Those were a complete failure. Two of those districts still exist, still have academic distress commissions, and it has broken the district. So yes, we have to improve our public schools. I'm all in on the effort to do that, but this is not the way to do that. And if you don't think things can get worse, trust me, they can. And that's what would happen under Senate Bill 295.
Julie, what do you think?
Well, I totally agree with Dunny that in order to improve our schools, we do need to make sure that we have high teacher quality. We need low student to teacher ratios, but we also need to have the funds, and this comes from the state on wellness dollars, that we can address many of the trauma situations that our students are living in. And if you look at what our students go through when they're living in high poverty from day to day, they have high student mobility, they always don't have enough food to eat, they don't have good medical care. Some of those things we were able to provide through the wellness dollars, which have now been cut. And we were getting 100% of our dollars, and then they put it into the funding formula, so now we just get 38%. Mm. That is a huge loss to our district. We also have to make sure that we have teachers who are highly trained. And I know that he mentioned about TFA can come in and fill the needs of our shortages. We have had TFA in our district for over 10 years, and they have not been able to fill our shortage areas. Those shortage areas are mainly in hard-to-fill positions such as special ed, high school math, high school science, and those are positions that cannot always be filled. Plus, many of those teachers, they've only had 5 weeks of training. They sometimes have trouble acclimating into a large district, and most of them don't stay past the 2 years that are required of their contract. But I want to say that I was very involved with the Youngstown plan when they had the academic distress. That was something we, through the Ohio 8, which is the 8 urban districts in the state of Ohio, we really worked seriously on that for months. It was a complete failure. Youngstown is not better off now than it was then. Mm. And so just to close schools, move schools, where are the students going to go to school? Right now, our high schools are all over capacity. We're trying to do a restructuring here in Cincinnati and put 7th and 8th graders or 6th, 7th, and 8th graders in their own buildings of middle schools, which I think will academically help those students entering high school. Yeah. Part of the problem is the funding.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, Julie, but okay. We got less than 10 minutes to go and so much to cover. Let's talk about some of the specifics in this proposal. One of the options that the senator talked about would be for charter schools to take over management of schools that are performing poorly. Representative Isaacson, what do you think of that idea?
It would be great if it worked, but it does not work, and we know it doesn't work. I mean, I spend a huge amount of my time in schools. I was in two different Cincinnati public schools yesterday. I'm at Government Square once every week or two, meeting students when they get off the bus, providing food and chatting with them about their schools. And without a doubt, every Cincinnati public school student I talk to has notes, you know, for how to improve their school. It's not like they think they go to perfect schools. But then you talk to them about, and then we include the kids at charter schools in the discussions or the kids who were at charter schools. And it is so much worse. And that's not because charter schools, by definition, have to be, you know, really low performing or failing schools. It's just that because in Ohio, we have a system where we have very little accountability, transparency, or oversight over charter school quality. And basically anyone can sponsor a charter school. Ohio has some of the lowest performing charter schools in the country as a result. And so it's not that all charter schools are bad or that there aren't any great ones. I've visited some, they exist. But the notion that charter schools taking over Cincinnati public schools is going to improve them just flies in the face of the facts, which is that it's actually really sad that we're letting students be in these charter schools as it is. And honestly, if we were trying to address these issues, we would start by trying to raise the floor of what is happening in these charter schools. I mean, we have one of the biggest in Cincinnati that is on the brink of closing. Students aren't even getting credit for going to school there. I talked to some students there last week. They said, you know, it's like they feel like they're in a prison with no real teachers. And so, you know, those are, again, none of this is to say that we don't have real improvements we have to make in our public schools, including in Cincinnati Public. Of course we do. But this is a situation like in so many other policies where Republicans see a problem, say homelessness or you know, schools that need to be improved, and they say, let's just get rid of it, and then we've solved the problem. No, if you just get rid of it, you've actually exacerbated the problem by pushing it elsewhere or turning a blind eye. That we have real work to do to improve our public schools. We have to fund them properly. We have to invest in them. We have to have better training and higher quality. And let's do that work. And certainly I'm open and work really hard to have that conversation with my colleagues. But that's the work we have to do. That's where the opportunity is. We can't just close schools or send them to charters and magically wish that they're going to get better. We have the evidence. That is not what happens. They get worse.
Julie, let me ask you about something else the senator said. He said Cincinnati Public Schools spends roughly $25,500 educating each student, which he said is twice the amount of some charter schools, what they spend, and that the charter schools get comparable or better results. Is that correct?
That is absolutely not true. I have a list, and it was even shared at one of the board meetings, of how much it costs per child per school. And in Cincinnati Public, every school is different. Our most effective school is Walnut Hills High School, and the cost per student there is less than $10,000 per child because they have so many efficiencies because it's a large school. We also, what he didn't explain is charter schools very rarely take the highest needs, special needs students. We have kids who are in wheelchairs, on feeding tubes, who have hearing impairments, blind. I mean, we have all of the kids who are very expensive. That is, they are expensive even just to transport. So it's really not fair for him to just make a generalized statement. And many of the things that he was saying, I would completely disagree with. And I have 30-something years of experience within CPS, and I've been on statewide committees for the last 16 years. So I have been embroiled in many of these conversations for years.
What do you think, Julie, what would be a better plan? I mean, there have been a lot of ideas floating around. We talked about this Youngstown plan. This is what Senator Brenner wants to do. What should be happening at the state level to help public schools get better?
Well, for one, what I believe is that they should not be spending $1 billion a year on vouchers for the students who were already in those schools. That is a complete waste of money. It's not improving anybody's education. Indian Hill High School, Indian Hill students have the most new vouchers in all of Hamilton County, and they're the number one district in the state. Why do they need those vouchers? We need stabilized funding, and we need to make sure that the budget bill is implemented at a quicker rate, because in Cincinnati, we just had all of our taxes increase. There was a reevaluation of property taxes. Because our property taxes went up, our share from the state went down. So we went from 41 or 42% of our funding coming from the state to now it's 38%. And those types of cuts of finances are harmful to our students. They're harmful to our schools. But we have to cut programming. If the state just cut $15 million after our budget was already in place after the fact, then we had to make those cuts. What is that doing to our programming? What is that doing to our classrooms? Were we able to fill the vacancies that we needed because we had a shortage of funding? So everything he's saying is not there. It's a bad plan. And I would not encourage anyone to think that anything that he's saying is going to be beneficial to our students. There was just recently a report that was done. It was a research report. When you talk about report cards, the school districts that have the average median household income, if you are an A-rated district, your income is above $95,000. Your average is for a B-rated district is $65,000. C, 54,000, D, 44,000, and F districts are 32,000. He's not doing anything to address poverty, and that's really the real thing that we need to be looking at.
So much more to talk about this. I know the senator said he'll be reintroducing this in the next session, so we will stay on top of it. I've been talking with Ohio State Representative Dunny Isaacson and Cincinnati Federation of Teachers President Julie Sellers. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Technical director today is Ella Rowan. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.